This morning I want to read a passage out of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 to 25 it says this: "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed. For you are like sheep who have gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What drew me to this was Genesis chapter 2. "Now the Lord God had planted in the garden in the east, in Eden. He had put man he had formed, and the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Chapter 2, verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat anything from the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" There's been a lot of debate as to whether Jesus died on a stake, or whether he died on a cross, or whether he died on a tree. Doesn't really matter, does it? This passage in Peter tells us that he went to a tree. Why is it so important? I've titled my message this morning, "The Master on a Tree." Why did he go to a tree? Well, there are three things I want to talk about this morning. First of all, the master on the tree understood the effects of the fall. Friends, in Romans chapter 5, we're reminded, just as sin entered through one man and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. Sin was not taken into account when there was no law. Nonetheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not break a command, as did Adam, who was the pattern of the one to come. Friends, Jesus understood he needed to go to a tree to cancel out what Adam did on a tree. It's vitally important for us to understand that. What was Adam's sin? First of all, Adam's sin, friends, was eating from a tree. From that tree was a challenge to God's sovereignty. God said to Adam and Eve, "Don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Listen to what he says. When Satan tempts Eve, she says, "Did God really say you mustn't eat from the tree?" He said to the woman, the woman replied, "We may eat from the tree of the garden." Then he says, "But did God say you should not eat the tree in the middle of the garden? You mustn't touch it or will you die?" "You will not die," the serpent said, "for the God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like gods, knowing good and evil." Friend, God had set a boundary. They were free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, but God set a boundary. And he says, if you eat from this tree, you are challenging my sovereignty. God was God. God was the one who set the standards. God was the one who wanted us to obey him in every way. But they decided against that. Secondly, friends, eating from the tree not only challenged God's sovereignty, eating from the tree caused condemnation from God. What happened after Adam and Eve ate from the tree? Listen to what it says. So the Lord God banished them from the garden to work the ground from which he was taken. After he drove man out, he placed on the east side of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Friend, mankind, humanity, immediately felt the effects of the fall. Up until that point in time, friends, they were in the garden. They were just kind of picking the fruit. They were tilling the soil. It wasn't onerous work, friends. But at the fall, they felt the wrath of God's judgment. God kicked them out. But friends, the worst thing is for us. Not only eating from the tree, not only when they ate from the tree did they challenge God's sovereignty, not only were they condemned by God, friends, but they were separated eternally from God. That passage I read earlier on, God put them in the garden, but he said, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will die. Now, did Adam and Eve die immediately they ate the fruit? They didn't, did they? They were still alive. They were still breathing. They were still able to communicate with God. But friends, from that point onwards, they were separated eternally from God. Friends, the Master understood the effect of the fall. Because they ate from a tree they were not meant to eat, because they challenged the sovereignty of God, because they received the condemnation of God, because they were eternally separated from God, friends, the man on the tree needed to cancel the effect of the first tree. Secondly, not only did the man on the tree understand the effect of the fall, the man on the tree understood the need to reverse the symbol of the fall. The symbol of the fall, friends, was that mankind was disobedient, was rebellious, was shaking their fist in the face of God, and saying, we don't believe you, God. We'll do whatever we like, God. We won't listen to your commands. We want to become God ourselves. So how did Jesus overcome the sin of humanity? Well, first of all, friends, he obeyed the will of God. The what Peter passage says, he committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. That word translated found was, they investigated whether Jesus had done anything wrong. It wasn't just, well, you know, we think he hasn't done anything wrong. They intensely scrutinized who Jesus was at every moment in his life, friends, and they discovered that all through his life, he was constantly fully obedient to God. Even when he was tempted by the devil, Many will say, well, you know, Jesus didn't face the same things we faced, friends. Jesus faced everything we face, yet without sin. When Jesus was faced with the temptations in the desert, friends, the devil tried to do everything that he did to Adam and Eve. He tried to say to him, you can eat this, make bread for yourself. Eat some of this fruit. Jesus said, I gonna. Not doing that. Friend, the devil put him on the mountain and said, you can show yourself, you can be popular. Jump off the side of the temple and everybody will believe who you are. Jesus said, don't challenge the words of God or the commands of God. The devil said, well, you know, just curse God. Curse God and I will make you the king of all the world. Jesus said, man will not live on bread, but by every word of God. Friend, the devil tempted Jesus in every single way that Adam and Eve were tempted, yet without sin. Why is Jesus able to die for us? Friend, because he obeyed the will of God. Why is it important for him to reverse the symbol of the fall, friends? He did it by willingly taking the blame for our sin. Look at 1 Peter. When they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Friends, when Adam and Eve were faced with their sin, the first thing they tried to do was blame somebody else, didn't they? Adam said, Lord, it was this woman who misled me. She's the one you brought into the garden here. She's the one who's called all the trouble. The problem with that, friends, is when you read the text, you discover that Adam was standing right next to her when the devil was tempting Eve. And Eve, her response was, it wasn't me, it was the devil made me do it. Friends, Jesus did not do that. He took the blame for our sin in every single way. Friends, thirdly, the master understood the need to reverse the symbol of the faith because he received in his body the punishment of our sins. Verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Genesis reminds us, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. After he drove the man out, he was placed on the east, the garden of cherubim, the cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Friends, Jesus took our sin upon him. Adam and Eve tried to blame others. Adam and Eve always, just like us, friends, they tried to say it must have been somebody else's fault. But friends, Jesus was able to take our sin. Jesus was able to reverse the effect of the fall of the tree in the garden by what he did when he hung on a tree. Then finally, the master on the tree sets us free from the effect of the fall. How he set free? When the first tree was misused, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. But when Jesus hung on a tree, friends, The first thing we are told in the Peter passage is that he gave his righteousness to us. Listen to what it says in verse 24. It says, he himself bore our sins in the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Friends, we are accepted not because of who we are or what we have done, friends. We are accepted because of what Jesus has done for us. I want you to listen to a clip of a sermon that makes this point wonderfully very well. Won't you play that next clip for us, please, Joshua?
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. Now think about the thief on the cross. What an immense. I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with a friend. You'd never been in a Bible study, you'd never got baptized, you didn't know a thing about church membership, and yet you made it! You made it! How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, what are you doing here? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. The younger supervisor is. So, we have just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? Guys, I've never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just scared. And eventually, in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself,
that is the only answer, friends. The only answer that we have at the end of time is the man in the middle cross has invited us to enter into eternity. Friends, that's what Jesus did on the cross. That's the master on the tree, friends, who sets us free from the effect of the fall, because he puts his righteousness into us. We can't do that ourselves, friends. All we've got to do is when we get to heaven one day, friends, all we can say is, Jesus won for me my salvation. Not only did he put his righteousness into us, friends, but the passage carries on and says, he heals us completely. Look at the verse carries on. He bore our sins in the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. I'm sad to say there are many churches who believe in a health and wealth kind of philosophy that Jesus, you know, when he died on the cross, said, you'll never get sick again. Friends, this verse has got nothing to do with physical illness. This verse has got to do with spiritual death, friends. We are sick spiritually. We are spiritually far from God. And the healing we receive is the wonderful healing of our souls, friends. By his wounds you are healed. The healing is far better than the teaching of the health and wealth promised by false churches. The healing, friends, is the healing in the depth of our souls. Friends, that's what God has done for us. That's what the man on the cross did for us, friends. He set us free from the burden of sin. That's why we sing, burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's why we can sing that, friends. Because up until the moment when we go to the foot of Calvary, friends, we're carrying the burden of sin on our backs. But friends, when we go to Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. The master on the tree sets us free from the effects of the fall. He puts his righteousness into us. He sets us free, friends, from the effect of sin. And friends, he's the one who promises us eternal security. Look what it says in verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Oh, friends, what a great encouragement that is for me today. When I go to the cross, and I know not only do I receive Christ's righteousness, not only am I set free from the burden of sin, friends, but the cross reminds me that I will never lose Jesus because Jesus will never lose me. He's the overseer of my soul. Man, if it were up to me, I would mess up. I would lose my soul. I would go back to my own ways. But friends, Peter reminds us, Jesus is the one who holds us in his hands, and nothing can snatch us out of the hands of Jesus. The master on the tree, friends, understood the effect of the fall. The fall, the first tree that caused mankind to fall into sin. The master of the fact reversed the effects of the fall by hanging on a tree. The master on the tree, friends, sets us free from the effect of the fall. We have his righteousness, we have his spiritual healing, and we have his eternal security. That's why, friends, today we celebrate, we remember what Christ has done for us. But how is that achieved? Friends, it's achieved because what happens on Sunday, it's there because, friends, of what happens on Sunday. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you recognized our burden. Our burden, Lord, of carrying the effects of a first representative human that ate from the wrong tree. But thank you, Lord, that we can come today because the second representative person, you hung on a tree to set us free. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.